Almighty and eternal God, who didst grant thy servants in the confession of the true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and to adore its unity in the power of majesty, may we, by steadfastness in the same faith, ever be defended from all who oppose us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The collect, I've just now read, is our collection prayer, not of money, but of that which money cannot buy, the collection of praise and of petition we present proper to the Mass of each day. We praise Almighty God, for as St. Paul says in the epistle today, who hath first given to God, and recompense shall be made him? Nobody, no. All of the giving is of God, and ours is the getting. We're the creatures. We're thanking God for permitting us, we don't presume, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity we adore. All Mass long this Trinity Sunday, we're meant to stand lost in the abyss of our own creaturehood before the majestic mystery of the One and the Three. And the best we can do is to confess. What do we confess? Our sins, right? Today's the last day for Easter duty. No, not so fast. The word confession anymore has lost some of its meanings. Like our faith in God, the Blessed Trinity, this word is also threefold. First, yes, to acknowledge our sins, and then second, to praise Almighty God, and then third, to profess our faith. To acknowledge our sins, and then the other two, the meanings found in Scripture, in the Psalms you come across at Mass, and the Fathers of the Church, to profess our faith and to praise Almighty God. Almighty God has called Christians, the new and the true Israel, that would be us, to the immense dignity of acknowledging the glory of the eternal Trinity, a mystery we can never fathom, but which we firmly believe, because Almighty God can neither deceive nor be deceived. We acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity. We adore its unity in the power of majesty. Glory is a divine attribute he shares, the Almighty does, with his saints. But majesty belongs exclusively to God. Curiously enough, it's used for kings and for queens. I'm sure in the Magic Kingdom that Queen Elizabeth II is a lovely lady, but when you refer to her as Your Majesty, it kind of waters it down. By faith, we adore. This is God's gift to us. Almighty God did not reveal the Trinity to the Jews of old, the Old Testament. Cardinal Schuster says that's because they were dull and carnal-minded people. Nor do the other so-called Abrahamic or monotheistic religions worship the same God as we. The latest thing in the Novus Ordo is to promote the building of common worship centers for Muslims, Jews, and for Christians. But the rabbis, the imams, reject the Blessed Trinity as polytheism, the worship of three gods. And if you scratch the surface of each of these false religions, you will find not only an amalgam of some religion, much superstition, and even paganism, but also you can see, if you know it, recognize the signature of the Lord of the world, Satan. Every Muslim is obliged 5 times a day to bow down to the ground and to worship with prostrations towards Mecca in Arabia, towards an old stone building going back to pagan times. And within that pagan temple, there are 2 idols and then a large black stone. From the Kaaba of the Muslims to the Kabbalah, studied now today not only by Jews but by Gentiles also, which is a secret book of Gnostic meaning, exposing the idea, for example, of this world being created by a wicked god. That's all in that book, popular today. Satan makes his appearances there. But in today's prayer, we're asking, we who believe in the Blessed Trinity, to be protected by that same faith of ours. You know, in the Missal, if you follow Mass with the Missal, many times a saint is denominated as confessor, maybe bishop and confessor, priest and confessor. A confessor is the ancient title given to saints who professed the faith and who suffered for it without necessarily dying as martyrs. I have the story for you of a young confessor I was thinking of this past week who professed this faith just by his very presence, where he was not welcome. Although the Roman emperor, 4th century, Julian, had been brought up a Christian, and indeed he had been ordained elector, one of the minor orders the seminarians receive leading to the priesthood, this man abandoned his religion publicly when he ascended the throne and decided to make a public demonstration of his rejection of Christianity by offering a solemn sacrifice to the idols. So he went to the temple. He was accompanied by his entire court and the pagan priests as well. And amongst the members of his court was a young man, technically a page, who had been baptized and thus confirmed recently. When all the pagan priests in unison raised their knives to slay the victim, they would not cut. And when they tried to put the victim on fire on the altar, the fire would not start. And the priests exclaimed in their frustration, "Your Majesty, there must be some unknown power present to prevent our sacrifice. There must be some Galilean here, someone who's baptized." Julian the Apostate always referred to Christians as Galileans as an insult. He would never call them Christians. And the emperor was furious and demanded to know who it was. "No, O emperor," said this one brave lad who stood forward, "that I am a Christian and I have been baptized only a few days ago, confirmed, anointed with the holy oil to strengthen me for the combat. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed me by his cross. It was I, or rather the God whom I serve, who prevented the impiety you were about to commit. I called on the name of Jesus, and the devils here had no power." The emperor, being a superstitious man, was terrified. He knew the power of the name of Jesus, which is why he would never even say the word. And although he was extremely wicked and absolutely determined to destroy Christianity, he left the temple that day, the sacrifice unoffered, all covered with confusion. And the Christians, who would now face 8 years of persecution, were encouraged by such a proof of power. Julian the Apostate came all of a sudden. It was unexpected. There had been 40 years of peace. Christianity was legalized in the Roman Empire. And his one goal was to re-paganize the world. Remember, the empire then, that was the whole known world. He did not launch a bloody revolution. Well, there were some martyrs, Vivian and her family, and then St. John and Paul, they come up this in June. But usually he did not compel. Listen to this today and see if you can find anything in common with the communist revolution, which is also meant throughout the known world to destroy Christianity. The emperor used enticements, promotions, trickery. Some of them were silly, a bit like the, you know, the donuts or the French fries that they're offering. Sort of the equivalent of the different come-ons they use for their propaganda. But I don't think that Julian the Apostate ever sunk so low as to hand out lottery tickets to those who are willing to worship the pagan gods. Have you ever thought, to our shame, that the worst characters in all of this drama are Catholics, are fallen away Catholics? Why is that? Corruptio optimi pessima, the Latin saying covers it. The corruption of the best, that's the worst. And have you noticed the president, the governor, the members of the Supreme Court, many of them, the Pope, not really, but they have the name. The emperor, an apostate Catholic, had 3 points for his paganization program: political promotions, barring higher education, and the military. High rank, salary, honors were offered to important people. Indeed, if you were not a pagan, you could not be a governor. At that time, Julian the Apostate forbade it. He closed the schools. This had already been done. We forget this truth that in England and in Ireland, for centuries, Catholics were forbidden to go to school. If they wanted an education, they had to go to Europe. Well, Julian forbade higher studies, the classics back then, for anyone who was a Christian. Today, the same thing is done directly and indirectly by insisting on the injection to get in, or injecting within the critical race theory, which they call, as they call it, or so much more. Everything from tell me what are your pronouns to sports and for bathrooms. Christians were forbidden, theoretically as well, to serve in the army. And the army served, of course, the emperor's purposes. He needed soldiers against the barbarian invasion, but in any case, you had to prove that you were a pagan if you wanted any promotion in Julian's army. And last of all, he set his sights to rebuild the Jewish temple. Our Lord prophesied it would not be rebuilt. And indeed, the rebuilding of the temple is a sign of the coming of Antichrist, end times. The recent battles between Hamas and the Muslims, and Gaza Strip, and the Jews, the Israelis, have given rise to speculation about whether or not they're up to rebuilding the temple. And indeed, they are working on it. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, appeared in Jerusalem recently to represent the American Jews in the planning of this project. Julian tried his best to rebuild the temple in his day, but the workers were struck ill, paralyzed. There was earthquake, and finally, and this was certified even by pagans who were eyewitnesses, fire came out of the earth and consumed the workers. He had to give it up. In any case, he had to run off and have a war with the Iranians, the Persians. He was mortally wounded, and as he died, he cried, "Vicisti Galilei, St. Gregory Nazianzen, who was his classmate in university, says that as the apostate was dying, he was bleeding copiously, he took a handful of his own blood and threw it towards heaven and cried out, "Thou hast conquered, O Galilean." You will too, by the power of the precious blood, the profession of your triune faith. And for the rest, sometimes you don't need to say anything at all, but all the time be in the habit of saying little prayers to yourself, Jesus, Mary, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, some little exorcism prayer perhaps, and make with your thumb, this is the original way it was made, remember, the sign of the cross as we do at the gospel, here, or here, or here, in order to acknowledge the true faith, to confess the glory of the Trinity, to adore its unity in the power of God's majesty. If you are, as you leave church this morning, in the state of sanctifying grace, which I hope you all will be, why then you are a walking temple of God. When you walk into any situation at all this week, you are still his temple. Remember that sometimes just showing up is more than half the battle. It is to win. Thou hast conquered. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.